Open up to Ephesians. You can put a marker in Luke 10. Ephesians chapter 1. Gary, how long are we going to be in this book of Ephesians? How about till we're walking in what it says? Mm-hmm. And we're going to start again in verse 16 here in a minute. I've been studying, of course, by the instruction of the Lord. One of the first instructions we had this year was to assimilate the book of Ephesians again. And for those of you that's been around a while and heard Dave teach on it, primarily that means, even though you may have assimilated it in the past, well, how do you assimilate a book? Well, you read it. You just read it 30, 40, 50 times, let's say a minimum 30. And you're not at that moment really trying necessarily to extract revelation knowledge from it. What you're trying to do is equip your spirit for day and night meditation. How many of you knows your spirit does not sleep? God doesn't sleep, neither does your spirit. It's awake all the time. So you got to equip your spirit. And boy, once you really start getting the books in you, you know, your soul goes to sleep at night, but your spirit's still digesting, meditating. It's just amazing the revelation knowledge that'll come and by dreams and visions, or just all of a sudden you'll just wake up and you understand something you didn't understand when you went to bed the night before. So I've been doing that myself, reading Ephesians again. I've also got it on my iPod. Gary, you're 62. You can't have it. You can't use an iPod. Well, no, he's using me as an example. If I can do it, you can do it. You can learn how to do it. And I'll tell you right now, you'll listen to more word. Since I've got that iPod and started using it, I've had the opportunity, it's worked for me to listen more to the Bible, because I have the whole Bible on there. And also to review again some of Dave's teachings. Gary, like, what are you listening to right now? It's called The Walk of the Spirit. Goes along with a book I've heard of. The walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. See, because one of the things he's showing me is most of the church, including, I won't say you, including Gary, most of the time I'm really walking by my soul. I don't want to continue walking by my soul. My soul's messed up. What is the soul? Well, that includes the intellect, the emotions, your memories. Set emotions part, a lot of times it gets us messed up. You know, I know that Jesus had emotions. He got angry. Said he cried one time. He wept. He loved. I know he had emotions, but I also know this. His emotions didn't rule him. His soul did not override his spirit. And that's exactly the way we've got to be. So, I recommend an iPod to you. I mean, I've got over 4,000 songs and messages on that little gizmo that'll fit in my shirt pocket. How many of you are going to carry around 4,000 CDs with you? See, but on an iPod, you can have, you know, that thing's not half full. I've got 4,000 messages, well, songs and messages on there. You can carry it in your shirt pocket. And our generation, we have no excuse. And it's amazing. You think, well, I'm just running over, you know, I'm just going to get in my car and run over. I'm just going to be gone a little bit. It's amazing if you'll put that on. How many messages in a week you'll wind up hearing. It's amazing. So I highly recommend it to you. That's all free. There's no extra charge for that. Gary, do you get a commission from Apple? No. And there's other brands you can buy cheaper. I don't recommend them. I recommend an Apple. Get you an iPod. It works a lot easier. Okay, I've also been reading. Well, I'm tired of stuff not working. So I'm not reading any books right now by anybody that couldn't make it work. I'm reading books written by or written about people like Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake. And I'm not so much looking at the ones that operated only in the gifts, but their life ended in scandal. Because that's not the kind of revival we're after. Be honest with you, you can operate in the gifts now. I mean, if you're born again, you qualify. Smith Wigglesworth was healing the sick years before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. The gifts are exactly that. They're gifts for babies. But more, I'm trying to read after the ones that not only operated by the gifts, but they walked in a level of maturity where they didn't bring scandal on the body of Christ. And also that means that they could pretty well operate more like Jesus. You know, I don't think Jesus woke up every day and thinking, oh, I hope the gifts of the Spirit flow through me today. I hope the gift of healing flows through me today. He didn't operate like that. He operated like the mature son that he was. And he'd come up to you and says, well, what would you have me do for you? In other words, he's got it all available. What do you want? And that's the kind of revival that God's bringing us into. I said all that to say this. The reason we're going to these Ephesians prayers, there's two of them here we're going to look at again today. In every one of these writings now, I have found in one form or another this truth. They'll say it different ways, but they all say it. You ready? Walking in the authority of God is something you have to learn by your spirit and not by your mind. It says you'll never really mentally understand this. It's something that has to be discerned spiritually. Now, we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and make that very abundantly clear, where he says, Now we've received not the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The natural man cannot receive these things. They're foolishness unto him, because they are not mentally understood. They are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. This is something that we have to grasp with our spirit. Let's say it another way. It's something that has to be revealed to our spirit. Walking in God's authority is not a mental exercise. It is a spiritual exercise. So I was going, God, I hear these men saying that. Where is that in your word? And he said, well, look at how Paul prayed. Now, so let's look at it again. Notice here, in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, and I say, now where are we going to back up here? Well, I guess verse 16. No, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. But now notice, making mention of you in my prayers. I could start reading, and I'm going to read here again in a minute. Notice, Paul does not say, let me say it another way to make the point. He does not say, I'm sending you an Adobe attachment or a Word attachment, because what I want you to do is study these things until you mentally understand it. He says, no, I'm going to have to pray for you. What I'm wanting you to have, the Father has to give it to you, even though you are born again, spirit-filled, tongue talkers, which the church at Ephesus already was. But he see, when he says, I'm praying this for you, he did not say, I'm sending you in my letter things for you to mentally digest. He said, no, I'm praying for you. Why? This is something God has to give you. And it's not that it doesn't positionally already belong to us. What he's saying is for you to walk in it. So look at how he prays. He said, I'm praying for you. Well, Paul, what are you praying? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Isn't that interesting? Now stop. Wouldn't you think? Isn't that part of our inheritance, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God? Yet Paul's saying, I pray that the Father gives this to you. Well, wait a minute, I'm already born again. See, this is not like the prayer of petition. How many of you know wisdom is not a one-time thing? I pray the prayer of faith for wisdom. Father, give me wisdom. Give it to me now. I believe I receive when I pray. No. The prayer of petition is for event-oriented things. You know, like, I need to be healed. I believe I receive my healing right now. I thank you, Lord. Or, I need a new computer for the ministry. Father, here's what we need. I believe I receive it when I pray, and I'm thanking you for it right now. But see, wisdom and the other things he mentioned here, revelation, those things you need. How many of you like to have some of that daily? Well, what I'm finding out, now not all of them reveal this, but at least a couple of them in these books I've been reading. One minister in particular that walked in this, he gave a pretty detailed account. He says, you know, in the beginning, he says, my ministry, I was just very disappointed in it. I mean, I prayed, people die, you know, try and cast out devils and they'd stay the same. Yeah, the same ministry says we had, I tried all these different things. I can't remember it exactly, but it went something like this. First, we had deliverance meetings. Special Saturday night deliverance meetings. And he says, so a lot of people came and we got them delivered in Jesus' name. We got them all delivered. We shouted, we jumped, we did everything. But, you know, I noticed it didn't change very much. So after a while, I had another deal. We called it get free meetings. He says, well, I noticed the same people that came to get delivered, they came later to get free. And he says, the problem was, is that we were just jumping through all the hoops, but we weren't really activating the power of God. They weren't really changing. And he says, at that point in my life, that level of frustration right there is when this minister says, I began to pray these same prayers for myself. In his case, we're not going to make a formula out of this. I'm just sharing with you what I'm finding. He said, in his case, minimum 2 times a day. He would turn, and he said, on his knees. Now, we're not going to get religious about this. You don't have to stand on one leg and hop and, you know, until God gives it to you. The point he's trying to make is he was reverently and humbly asking for something that he knew he didn't really have. Well, what did the Ephesians have? These Ephesians are already born. See, now what's really funny, if you back right up here. The same book. Here's what a meditation and assimilation will do for you. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. This is not written to unbelievers, is it? And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Positionally, he's not denying the fact. Look, you're born again. You're a child of God. Positionally, as far as God's concerned, he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Wouldn't that not include wisdom and revelation? Well, sure it would. But just because it's like, a very wealthy man could leave an inheritance to his children. But if one of the children never got notice that he had that inheritance, what good would it do him? You've got to know that you have it, and you've got to know how to access it. You got to know what, in that case, you'd have to know what bank account it was in. You'd have to have an account, and then you'd be able to start using it. Well, I think the church is very much like that. God has already blessed us and left with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have it, it's stored up for us in our heavenly bank account. And we're going, wish I had some authority. And he's going, well, it's there. He's not denying that it's there. He's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings. He says, but you need to set up an account and learn how to withdraw from that. Well, I think that's the prayer kind of thing he's praying over here in later in chapter 1 when he says, look, I'm asking the Father to give you something. I'm doing it by prayer. Because this is not something you can just mentally do. He says, I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And you could add here, I'm praying the eyes of your understanding be enlightened so that you could know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And you could add, and I'm praying that you would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, that's quite a prayer. And this particular minister, and the others must have done something like this, but this one says, he took a space of 6 months. And he did a lot of other things, you know, he had to preach and he had a lot of responsibilities. But he says, for 6 months, in his case, twice a day minimum, on my knees, I would pray this same, well, there's two of them here, these same two prayers for myself. So he said, I would pray it like this. I'd say, Father, I'm asking you, Father, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Father, I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of my calling. You understand how to do it? See, I come real close because of the way I started off with the Bible studies. Now, see the way he had the instructions he gave me for the Bible study that we used to hold in our home? He said, I want you to approach it with the attitude that the people who are coming could not find the book of Mark with both hands. In other words, pablum. We're talking pablum, okay? So I didn't trust them to do anything on their own. If I had an instruction like this, I would go ahead and print it out. I would change it and make it into the present tense confession for them. I would have it printed and I would give it to them, and like little just spoon feeding the little babies, you know, open up now. Let me give you another little bite of applesauce. Come on, baby. How many of you prefer we treat you more like adults? I thought about doing it and I thought, no. The 8:30 bunch is the fast-going, faster bunch anyway. And you've got Bibles. You can get your own Bible out. And it's not hard. You don't even have to write it out. You can just insert your name there in that prayer. But now you just might as well. I'm just saying to you, you can do what you want. I'm not trying to get you to do anything. I'm just suggesting, telling you what I'm finding in my research. But as for Gary, I'm going to do that same thing for a season. I don't know how long, but at least twice a day when I get up, before I go to bed at least, and maybe more, I am going to pray those same prayers. I need it. Obviously, I don't have it. Gary, do you mentally understand it? Apparently not. I mean, I can teach it. I can tell you what it says. I can analyze the words for you. God's given me a gift of taking difficult subjects and making it simple. But see, I feel right now more like and it's not like we don't see results. You know, we see some results. I'm talking about the ones we're not seeing. I feel right now kind of like Dave talks about that teacher in the airplane, you know. He's teaching a student. Everything's fine. Till the plane starts going into a nosedive and the student goes, take over, take over, take the controls, teacher. And the teacher says, I just teach about this stuff. I can't fly this thing. I don't want to be that kind of teacher. So I'm just sharing with you. You can do what you want. But I'm just sharing with you. That's what I intend on doing. Let's see if I can find this other prayer here. Yeah. Chapter 3. Starting in verse 14. And again, notice it's a prayer, not a study assignment. And again, you got to remember, he's praying this for people that are already born again, already spirit-filled, tongue-talk just as good as you can tongue-talk, had a good church. Yet he says, I'm praying something for you. I'm bowing my knees unto who? Unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, do you love that? Of whom the whole religion? Is that what it says? Told you, real Christianity is not a religion. Notice, it is a family. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Okay, I got to stop right there. Just for a moment, we'll come back. Had one of those little quick visions. This may seem a minor thing to you. Do you remember when he was going through the face-to-face things and he was teaching me on the works of the Father and how to get them manifested? See, it's no coincidence that we just finished all of that teaching with a 10-year review just as we're going into this study on authority. If you'll remember back to the document called The Works of the Father, that's where he's talking about we are the agents of authority on the earth, but the Holy Spirit is the agent of power. Jesus said of himself, well, he says, the Son of himself can do nothing. It's the Father in me, he's doing the works. But he would reveal to us how those works would happen. If I cast out devils, in one of the Gospels, he says, if I cast out devils by the finger of God. On that same event recorded by one of the other writers, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit, you could say it this way, He is the hand of the Father outstretched. So I had this little mini vision. And again, it was Jesus being baptized by John in the River Jordan. How does John describe Jesus in the first chapter? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Later it says the Word was made flesh. He was manifested and made flesh. So Jesus is the Word. And in this little vision, we have the Word. And up until that point, even though Jesus is the Word, He had never yet done one miracle, had He? Never been one demonstration of power. Until the Holy Spirit came and joined with the Word. I saw that vision again and I heard this verse, the Word and the Spirit agree. Glory to God. You know, you have people that are all, this is, and it describes me in the early days. I was a Word man. I'm all Word, buddy. You know, I cut my teeth on the Word of faith and glory, and we saw some results. I mean, but I was all Word. In fact, to be honest with you, those Spirit people, you know, they're a little spooky to me, you know. I mean, and I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't get me wrong. I could shine the light at that point. But those, you know, you seemed like you had Word people, and they're all in. And the Word people, you know, I'd see results there. But to be honest with you, they were a little bit, what's the word? What? Mean? I think I was going to say rough. But that's pretty good, mean. It was like, it's all Word. It's very... And it's better than nothing. See, I thank God for the Word of faith. If it had not been for the Word of faith, I never would have made it to the prayer center. I'd have died of cancer in 1990. I mean, the devil took a good shot. 6 months to live will just scare the bejabbers out of you. You know, so, you know, but the Word. I was like, oh, I'm all Word. Well, after about 12 years of limited results, and I don't know how many brick walls I ran into because I couldn't see. I'm not... What's the credo? When you're a Word man, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. And I believe the Word of God. And that's good. We should be a Word man, see? Trouble is, if you're a Word man and you have not yet found God's leadership for your life, I mean, a lot of the stuff I tried to do as I look back on it now was just stuff I made up. Sue says... See, you just made that up in your head, didn't you? Well, we did a lot of things for the Lord, you know, that's an acceptable walk. You can't even give a cup of cold water in His name and lose your reward for it. Well, that's an acceptable walk, but see, if you're really on a path that's not really the Lord's path, and He's trying to flag you down, wrong way, never called you to do this, wrong way, please turn, please go pray, please. And you keep hitting brick walls and you don't know if it's the devil or God. Well, after getting our brains pretty well smooshed over and over again for 12 years, we finally discovered the prayer center. And Dave comes out and he says things. One of the first services, he said something like this. I am a faith man. I'm perked up. All right. He says, my underwear is made out of a Tulsa faith flag. And I'm going, yes, I have found a brother from another mother. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. But then he would say this. He'd say, you know, but a faith man, don't ever throw out the word of faith. You got to have faith. But he says, you know, what's really better is if you could take somebody with faith and teach them how to be led by the Holy Ghost. And they don't lose that training. They keep all that training for about, you know, the word and how to war with the word. But yet then learn how to be led by the Holy Ghost so they can really find God's path. Now, once you find God's path, and he says, here's what I want you to do with your life, and you start down that journey, the devil is going to throw everything, including kitchen sinks, at you, trying to stop you. And that's when you've got to be a faith man. I'm not moved by what I see. This is the way God told me to go and sink, swim, whatever. This is the way I'm going. Devil, get out of the way. And that's where we are right now. That's where we are right now, because the devil's going to try and stop you. He's only got, he does everything from the outside in, pretty much, including, when I say that, I mean your emotions too. Your spirit never yet had a gloomy day. The stuff he's been teaching me here lately about the walk of the spirit. Your spirit is made in the image of God. God don't have blue Mondays. God, your spirit has never yet walked around doubting all day long. No. You know? And believe it or not, your problems when you pray, God's up there going, I didn't expect a recession. I didn't know that. Now, I don't know what, Jesus, you got any ideas? I don't know what we're going to do here now. They say it's worse than the depression. You remember how bad that was? Where's all that activity going on? That's all going on in our soul. See, our spirit man's going, please come listen to me for a little while. Just sit there and be nice. And, you know, the Holy Ghost is right here wanting to give us instruction. If you just quit all that caterwauling and let me pray. He's got answers for us, you know. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, sit there and pray. That's what you need to do. Well, getting back to, I don't know how I got off. How did I get off on all that exactly? Anyway, let's get back to what Paul was praying here. See, look at the difference between that walk and verse 16 here. That God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, that inner man right there, as the way I understand it, is a little S. And I think they got it right on that one. I could be wrong. I may change this later. I'm still learning too. I think the capital S is okay. But the inner man there, isn't that you? And he's going, the Holy Ghost will strengthen you. He will strengthen that inner man. All right? Well, what happens? See, as he does that, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. See that? It's beyond mental understanding. What we need here is, we need to study. The Bible's full of study to show yourself approved. We need to meditate the Word. We need to assimilate the Word. But we might as well humble ourselves and go, Father, you're going to have to give us something we don't have right now. This is a matter of prayer more than I realized. Father, I need this. And Paul's he's praying this for people. He just already got through telling them he's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Yet I'm praying for you. You need something. You need God to give you something. And if He gives it to you, you'll come to the place where you'll know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And boy, if we can get there, we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. See, that's what Smith would say in his sermons. He would just break into it. Filled with God, filled with God, filled with God, emptied of self and filled with God. Now, there's a revelation apparently that comes. See, it excites me to hear that. My soul right now, aren't you jumping with that? But there's a comprehension and an absorption, a digestion, a processing of truth there somehow that passes knowledge. It's deeper in us than, he says, I'm talking about your inner man. I'm talking about, let's get past the emotions and memories and your own self-doubts, and let's talk to your spirit for a minute. Because there is a capacity in you to see Dave. Where's God brought Dave now? He can't hardly come out and talk about anything but the love of God. We're close people. Closer, well, at least Dave is. It's that love of God. If you really comprehend it, what happens? Then you become filled with all the fullness of God. Smith had it. Well, others had it. It's not the only one. And we can have it. I think we think too much. And I think we're trying to mentally apprehend something that can only be spiritually discerned. And I think it's time for us to bow our knees to the Father. Say, boy, if Paul needed to pray this for them and they were already born again, spirit-filled, Father, I need to bow my knee. And I want to pray this for myself. And you could do the same thing here. See, just insert me, that you would grant unto me. So then he says, now, after saying that you be filled with all the fullness of God, then it's like Paul just can't stand it as he's meditating. He's gone now. Kind of like, I can just see him going away like Dave goes away. Now unto him. He has to break into worship now. See, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see how he's operating beyond the mental realm? According to the power that works in him. No? See, it's according to the power that works in us. That's why he's got to pray this. He's already. There's not a power problem. The power is there. He's made it available. But we got to be the conduit. The Word and the Spirit agree. Got that? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages without end. Amen. So again, I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just, for myself, this is something I'm going to start doing. I've already started it. I don't always have my, now I hate to admit this, I don't always have my Bible with me 24 hours a day. Smith did. In fact, he offered a big reward to anybody, standing offer, if you can ever find, he says, if you can ever find me without my sword or my, at least my dagger, meaning a whole Bible or the New Testament. And I'll give you so much money. Well, nobody ever found him without it on his person. He had it, he'd have it in his coat or something, but he'd always have it on him. So what I'm going to do myself is I'm going to put these verses, I'm going to print them out on something I can fold up, put in my pocket, so that at least twice a day, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, I can pray these prayers, because apparently it's not something we can do just mentally. Amen. All right, go to Luke 10. At this point, Jesus has already been baptized by John in the River Jordan. He has already been in the courtroom of heaven, for those of you that attend and have heard these messages. At the baptism of John in the courtroom of heaven, when Jesus was laid down in the water, he was basically saying, Father, I know why I came. I came to die. This is my vow, that I'm going to die in the place of Adam. When John lays me down in the water like a grave, that's my vow to you. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. When he did that in the courtroom of heaven, since God looks on the heart, he says, well, he's really going to do it. I can see he's really going to do it. So God counted it as an accomplished fact. And at the moment he laid down, he was laid down in the water in the courtroom of heaven, a gavel came down and said, Adam, the first Adam, is dead. Then when John raised Jesus up out of the water, that's Jesus' faith. Father, I'm not going to leave my soul in hell, neither will my flesh see corruption. I'm trusting you to raise me again from the dead. And right after that event is like, that's when they, like in the courtroom of heaven, all right, since the first Adam is dead, I'm now free to reassign dominion to another one. Who would be the good candidate for that? Here's my son, raised from the dead. Holy Spirit, now let him have dominion. And that's why the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. That was coronation day, really. And he was crowned the second man, the last Adam. And from that day forward, now the Word and the Spirit, they're working together. The Word by itself could produce no miracles. The Holy Spirit was here the whole time. By himself, he didn't produce any miracles. But when the Word and the Spirit agree, when the Word and the Spirit, it's not that they disagreed. What I'm trying to say is when the Word and the Spirit work together, Jesus being the agent of authority, the Holy Spirit being the agent of power, from that point on, we see them moving all through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, healing all who had been oppressed of the devil. They basically went around undoing the works of the devil. Well, now we see Jesus doing that, but now here he's showing us a preview of the church. Now he knows that we're not going to be born again. Nobody could be born again until after the resurrection. But he's showing us a preview of how the church is supposed to function. These are not the 12. We're going to look at the 70. These are 70 people. Now, at this moment, are they born again? Absolutely not. But see, Jesus is the last man, the last Adam. He has already been crowned that. What he says, the Holy Spirit does. Have you figured that part out? What he says is never apart from the will of the Father. He says, I don't speak of myself. What I hear my Father saying, that's what I say. What I see my Father doing, that's what I do. So it's the Father's will to demonstrate a preview of what the church is supposed to be operating in right now. So Jesus basically puts his mantle temporarily over here on the 70. Even though they're not born again, he is commissioning them to go out and do the same works. So let's look at this now. So after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, and boy, is this not true still today? The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now, when he says laborers, he means the kind that he's about to send out. The kind that can produce the kind of results that he's sending out. The laborers are few. Now, in the whole world, what is there, 6 billion people on the planet? Less than 1 billion are Christian, if I understand my statistics correctly. The vast majority of the world is still unsaved. And the laborers, the kind that he's talking about here, are very, very few. So this definitely applies to us. He says, pray you, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Can you get a picture of a lamb? Fierce, aren't they? Sharp teeth. Penetrating eyes, a growl that'll just scare you stiff in your tracks. I'll sue your britches off, you know. He sent us forth as what? Lambs. Apparently, looking like to the world, we have no defense. Notice this. He says, now, later on, now he's saying here, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. That means don't even take an extra pair of sandals with you. Now, later on, he sent out people and he told them, you take money with you on this trip. You can't take this as a formula. Okay, Jesus is alive and well. But in this one, he's saying, I want you to learn some things. I want you to learn to depend upon my Father, and not upon mammon, not upon your own supplies. So on this journey, I don't want you taking any money with you. Gary, have you ever done that? Are you kidding? First time we ever left for our first ministry trip to Florida, we couldn't have got to the state line with the amount of money we had for gas. I mean, God had to come through for us, and He did. Provided for us a way to do it, paid for it in full too. You got to learn how to do that. That's why on one trip he'll say, now, or one assignment, he'll say, now don't use your, okay, I'll go pay for it. He says, no, stand here and believe me for the money. I want you to learn something. Yes, sir. Oh, man. A year or two ago, somebody blessed Sue and I with a really nice TV. And we thought our TV was fine. I mean, you know, we had a good TV. But this was one of those new kind, 42-inch LCD, you know, whatever. You know, I thought our TV was fine. I'm fast-forwarding here a little bit. Once we got that one hooked up, you go look. We moved the first one to the bedroom back there, the back bedroom. And I'd go back there and I'd watch this new one. I said, oh, my God, I never watched so many nature programs in my life. You know, now you can see the whiskers on the cheetah, you know. I said, my goodness. And I'd go back there and I'd look at that old one. And I'd go, one I thought was fine. And I'd go back there and I'd go, what is that gray fuzzy thing in the corner? Oh, that's a TV. I can't believe we used to watch that thing. Anyway, well, someone blessed us with this TV. And we had it in the house, in the box. But at the moment, we didn't have the money. I mean, I could have charged it. But we didn't have the cash on hand to pay for the hookup. Plus, I needed a bracket thingy because I didn't want it to tip over. And then it takes more money a month because... So here the thing is, and I slid it, box and all, in the hallway. And it stayed there for about 6 months. Not hooked up. My children would come to the house. My adult children. What is that? Oh, that's a new 42-inch LCD television. What's it doing in the hall? Well, you know, we'll hook it up one of these. I didn't want to, you know, you don't want to be like begging for money or letting. We'll hook it up one of these days. Now, why would you do that? There's been other things he'll let me, if I have to, put it on the card, pay it off. But I didn't feel like he was saying that on this. He wanted me to remember. Now, who gave you that TV? Oh, yeah, you did, Lord. How's it supposed to be used? Righteously. Who's your provider? You are. That's exactly what he was doing here with these guys. When you go, I want you to learn to depend on me. Now, later on, again, on other trips, he'd send his disciples out, tell them to take money with you. Take an extra pair of sandals, too. Jesus is alive and well. Don't make a formula out of this, but let's learn some things from it. My goodness, lion clock. So he says, on this trip, I don't want you to take purse, nor scrip, that's money, nor shoes, meaning an extra pair of sandals. Salute no man by the way. In other words, this is not a pleasure trip. Do y'all ever hear of tourist evangelism? Oh, yeah, there's such a thing as tourist evangelism. Man, I've always wanted to see Italy. You know, I know a couple of preachers in Italy. I bet I could arrange a trip over there and take my wife and yeah, we'd preach the gospel. Yeah, we're going to go preach the gospel to, you know, one or two meetings. But really, I'm going to use that to finance our trip. And while they're there, the Lord's not opposed to you smelling the roses as you go through life. At mine and Sue's age now, if we don't stop and smell the roses, they're not going to get smelled. But see, your motive is everything. Are you really going to Italy to win? Are you on a mission that's assigned from heaven? If you are, then you know, that comes first, is what he's saying here. All right, let's keep going. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. go not from house to house. Now, there's a whole teaching there that we can't get into today, but that is real good counsel. Let me just tell you that. Okay, that's real good counsel. Into whatever city you enter and they receive you. How many of you remember my testimony of eat such things as are set before you? How many of you have made a vow, something like, Father, every word in this Bible I intend to obey? Something like that? Yeah, you'll get tested on it. Anyway, I've already taught on that. But see, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, you got to be careful. See? Well, yes, sir. All right. if he's not going to let it go, I'm not going to let it go. God really doesn't care if you decide to eat nothing but vegetables the rest of your life. If you think that's the healthy way to eat and that's the way you want to eat, you don't find anything against that in the Word of God. But you become a minister of doctrines of devils when you forbid other people to eat meat. And you start telling them that's the only way you can eat and that's what God intends. Now you have joined yourself, and I know that you love God. I know. But you've joined yourself to a doctrine of devils, because two of the doctrines of devils that we're told about is refusing to eat meat and refusing to marry. Allow them to marry. Any church you know of that refuses to allow their ministers to marry and have meatless days and things like that, you know? And then there's cults, just plain cults that get into all that stuff. Now, you can be a vegetarian at home. Yes, sir. Okay. One of my earliest understandings of this, many of you have heard this. This was in the early days when I'm trying to learn how to operate by the gifts of the Spirit. I had done a Sunday night service here. Excuse me. After the service, this lady came up. She said, would you mind to pray for me? And I said, well, sure. And she said, what do you need? She said, well, it was getting to be the holiday season coming up to Thanksgiving. She said, you know, my parents live in another state. And I only get to see them like once or twice a year. They usually fly here for Thanksgiving. And I love my parents and they love me, but it's every year when they come, I mean, no matter how hard we try, we get into a big argument and we fight. And they'll want, you know, they leave mad and I'm mad and it's just a horrible experience. Would you pray, please, that this year when they come, that we'll just have peace and we can enjoy each other's company and we won't have a fight like that. I said, well, sure. So I'm fixing to pray a Gary prayer. What's a Gary prayer? Well, it's the same kind of prayer you'd probably pray. You just pray something, and it's okay to pray this way unless the Holy Spirit shows you something. But I was going to pray a, you know, normal prayer like, oh, Father, I thank you. You are the God of peace. You are the great shalom. Oh, Father, let your peace come when they... And I'm about to pray that way. And I hear the Holy Ghost. Now, I've been praying and learning how to hear His voice. And He interrupts me before I can start praying. And He quotes a portion of that verse. Eat such as is set before you. And I hear it just as plain as anything. Eat what's set before you. But it didn't seem to have anything to do with what this lady was asking for. So I did what you would do. I ignored it. And I'm about to pray my Gary prayer, you know. And it interrupted me again. And either the second or third time, I just said, okay. I said, lady, I said, every time I get ready to pray for you, I keep hearing a portion of a verse. And I think it's the Holy Ghost trying to help. But I'm not reluctant to tell it to you because it doesn't seem to have anything to do with what you're asking me. I said, would you like to hear it? She said, well, yeah. If the Holy Ghost is talking, what's He saying? So I said to her, well, He's saying, eat what is set before you. When I said that, boy, it meant something to her. Her eyes flashed with anger for just a second, looking at me like, who are you to say something like that to me? And I'm going, what? But it passed real quick, you know, and the anger. And she goes, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know, do you? And I said, I guess not. What is it? She said, well, what you don't know is I'm a vegetarian. And my parents most certainly are not. And when they come for Thanksgiving, they want to have all the traditional things that I know is bad for them. They want to have the dressing and the gravy and the giblets and all of that pie and meat and turkey. And I'm getting amens from all over the room here. Hallelujah and hallelujah, you know. And she says, I try my best not to say anything, and I'll hold it for a little while, but before, it never fails. I finally start bursting out, and I say, you shouldn't be eating that stuff. It's bad for you. It causes this and that and this and that, and you shouldn't be eating it. You should be a vegetarian. And there it goes. And here she said, that's what it's always about. And we have a big old fight, and they go home mad, and I'm home mad, and then we all hate it that it happened. I said, now, you came up and asked for prayer. You wanted God to help you with this situation with your parents. She said, that's right. So in essence, during this visit, you're going to be his minister of peace. You're on a ministry journey, lady. You can be a vegetarian the other 51 weeks out of the year. But if you want to have his peace in your house, his instruction to his ministers is, eat what is set before you. And it won't kill you to have a slice of turkey. Or just not. But you cannot impose those kind of things on other people. And my counsel would be, during that week as his minister, eat what is set before you, enjoy your parents, and let them go home in peace. Now, isn't that amazing? See, there's the true working of a word of knowledge. I would have no way on earth of knowing that lady was a vegetarian. I would have no way in the natural, unless she told me, I guess, what was causing those arguments, but the Holy Ghost knew exactly what the problem was. I recommend praying in other tongues. I recommend learning how to discern his voice and discern these things spiritually, you know. But these guys didn't really even have that advantage. They weren't born again yet. Yet Jesus is going to clothe them with his mantle of power. Let me say it this way. When they go dead as a doornail spiritually, they're dead as a doornail. Now they love God, but they don't have the life of God on the inside. But still yet, because the last Adam spoke it, the Holy Spirit, as those guys went off two by two in various directions, the Holy Spirit went with each one of them and says, I am going to enforce dominion, what they say, in Jesus' name. Well, watch what happens. So he says, eat what is set before you. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal, here it goes, heal the sick that are therein. Well, how many would that be? Well, how many sick are therein? Empty the hospital out if they've got one. Doesn't it say heal the sick that are therein? Just heal them. Heal them first. You know, you come in there and some old boy that's been blind his whole life, and you walk in the name, and he can suddenly see. He and everybody who knows him is a little more prone to listen to your preaching. You got that? Heal the sick that are therein and say unto them. Because they're going to say, how did this happen? Well, the kingdom of God has come close to you now. In other words, they're going to preach about the king. They're going to preach about Jesus. They're going to preach because he's coming. It says up here, they went first. They're like forerunners going into these cities ahead of him coming. You reckon they were primed to hear the message when he got there? He brought the rest of the message. Verse 10, but into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves to us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God, it came to you, all right? Now listen. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the preaching had been done, is that what it says? If the tracts had been passed out, if the radio message had been sent, if the TV message had been sent, no. If the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they would have a long time ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, which Capernaum was a very religious city, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. Now, the point I'm trying to make there, the judgment came on the cities not because they didn't listen to the preaching. It came on the cities because they didn't hearken to the mighty works. In other words, the mighty works validated the preaching. He did the works. Then he said, tell them the kingdom has come. We don't have very many laborers like that. So, well, I'm one of those, all right? I want you to go to Sepulpa. Heal the sick. How many? All of them. Any of them that come to the meeting, any of them that you can reach. If they come, just heal them. And then tell them how they got healed. See, that's the workers he's trying to raise up. And that's how revival is coming to the land. Okay, we're going to pick up the rest of this whenever the next time is. Because we want to get in. See, the 70, they not only, they got a bonus that they didn't know they had. They knew they'd been commissioned to heal the sick. They come back. They're astonished. You know what? Even the devils. We have authority over devils in your name, Jesus. Did you know that? They're astonished. They're like telling him, like, did you know we had authority over these devils in your name? He goes, yeah, yes, I saw Satan fall. We'll get into that next time. For today, we'll see you in 30 minutes.